want to continue from where we left off last week, and I want to also thank you, whoever is listening and wherever you are in the world, in Greenwich, in London, and you can everywhere in the world. I say God bless you, and it is appointed for you to be here to listen to this message, because God wants to really, really unfold some revelation to you and to bless you. We thank him for today. Peace be unto you as God has ordained. So we want to take the topic, I'm going to speak on the topic, Goshen, God's deliverance and provision. Goshen, God's deliverance and provision. Continue from where we left off, last week. And the passage that we'll be reading later on in the message is from Exodus chapter 8, verse 18 to 24. Exodus chapter 8, verse 18 to 24. I want you to keep your finger on it as we go along, because we want to bring something to you. As an opening statement, I would like to say this to you. Just look at me sternly in the face, or look at me graciously in the face, not sternly. And I will say that our story of salvation, God's provision, his protection, his deliverance, his prosperity, his safety, his prophetic blessings, his communion and love was all played out in the land of Goshen. You heard me? I'm saying in the land of Goshen, we have and we will see God's salvation. We will see God's provision. In that land, God brought protection for his people. In that land, God provided deliverance for his people. He prospered his people. He provided safety for his people. He provided prophetic blessings. In that land, they received prophetic blessings. And the communion of the people and the communion with their God was played out in the land of Goshen. Above all, the love of God was also played out in that same land, Goshen. So if nothing at all, I'm bringing a revelation about Goshen to you that you probably have never considered. That this is a powerful thing that I want you to see. That God was actually providing the type. He was preparing his people. Even to this generation, he was preparing the background for us to understand who God is. Remember, I told you last week that the people of Israel, who were from Canaan, was first referred as Israel when they moved from where they were into Egypt and settled in Goshen. That was when they were first called Israel. And God did that for a reason, because they became a people from there. Only 70, some translations say 75, only 70 people who were from Israel and from Canaan went into Goshen. If you add the sons of, Joseph, and Joseph and his wife and the sons to it, then probably you get a 75. But I just want you to understand that only a few people went, but before long they were a multitude. They became Israelites, or the people of Israel. This time not a few, not only Jacob, but the people of Israel. You see, now, I want you to understand that in Goshen, the best of the land is at your disposal to prosper. The best of the land is at your disposal to prosper. So when you make that move, when you respond to God, when you hear the voice of God, when you are convicted in your spirit that change your location because there's famine and move into Goshen, whatever Goshen is for you. And when you are bold and brave, and some of you, need to have some powerful conversations and serious conversations about your life and with your family, with your spouses, and with your employers, then you will know that when you move into Goshen, the land will be at your disposal to prosper. Note that the people were foreigners. They were newcomers. They were sojourning in a new area. Yet the king says the best of the land is at your disposal. Now let's back this up by reading scripture. So turn to Genesis chapter 47, verse 3 to 6. Genesis chapter 47, verse 3 to 6. I'm reading from the New International Standard Bible, New American Standard Bible. It's NASB. It says that then from verse 3, Genesis 47, then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" So they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flock, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Wow. You see, here they have moved from Canaan and now they are in Goshen by the advice of Joseph. And I told you last week that Joseph was a type of Christ. It's as if God is already there to welcome the people into that new move, to that new destination. When the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God moves, God makes provision for his people, and was there to welcome them. And here they said that our fathers have farmed this, and they were shepherds. You see, they're saying that our history tells us this. This is where we've come from. Our history hasn't changed. Our careers haven't changed. Our professions haven't changed. Our home situation hasn't changed. But then there is famine. In the midst of where we are, there is still famine. And now we have come to settle in your land. And the king said, "Look, the best of the land is there for you. The best of the land is there for you." But I like the bit that the king said, "Look, your father and your brothers have come to you." So God is already there to welcome you. So when you make that move, you are going into the land of your brothers, and your father and your divine covering, who in this case, the type of Christ, Joseph, is there to welcome you. He is there to come. So you are going to the Father. You are not just going to just anywhere. Even though it has a name as Goshen, you are going into the arms of your Father. And in Goshen, you will also be given new responsibilities that will fit and bring out the best of your skill set and abilities. They said, we are shepherds. And the king said, "If there is anyone capable among you, then let them take over. Look after my livestock. Look after my cattle." That is incredible. So that new move, when you make, I want you to understand that your skill set, your capability is going to be discovered by your new employer. It's going to be discovered by the people that you are moving to. It's going to be discovered from the land which is alien to you. It's going to be discovered. And when it is discovered, guess what? You're going to be given new responsibilities and new capabilities to be able to, look at. In verse 27 of Genesis, 47, he said that now Israel, meaning Jacob, lived in the land of Egypt, in Goshen. Another way to put it, that means the people of Israel, all God's people, lived in the land of Egypt, in Goshen. And they acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous. So here, God is referring to them. First it was Jacob, now he's referring to them as a collective body. Now God is beginning to see you as a people, as you've made them move to come under his protection. He sees you as one people and said, now Israel lived in the land of Egypt. He didn't even say the people of Israel. He said Israel, meaning the collective people of Israel, lived in the land of Egypt in Goshen, and they acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous. The people of Israel became fruitful and they prospered in Goshen. So, you see, prosperity or prospering, it is God's agenda. When you align yourself with God's agenda, when you align yourself with God's priority, God will let you prosper. The Bible said they prospered. They were fruitful and they prospered while in Goshen. When you make that move, God will prosper you. Don't be afraid, because Goshen is a place of worship and prophetic blessing. First, we said Goshen is the best of the land is at your disposal, and we are saying that, look, Goshen is a place of worship and prophetic blessings. Why am I saying this? You see, when the time was approaching for Israel, meaning Jacob, to die, he bowed in worship at the head of his bed after receiving a solemn promise from Joseph to take him back to be buried with his fathers. All this happened in Goshen, a place of worship. You can read it from Genesis chapter 47, verse 29 and verse 31. Genesis 47, verse 29 and 31. In Goshen, we hear that Jacob, when he was ready to die, he bowed in worship. He bowed and worshiped the Lord. That is, so Goshen was a place of worship. From here on, Jacob summoned all his sons and blessed each one of them. So Goshen was not only a place of worship, but also was a place of blessings. So there's a blessing for each one of you, each individual by name, that God wants to bless you with, that God wants to anoint you with, God wants to determine your future with, so that you will know, so that you will walk in them. So God is saying, I know your name. I know your name. I know your name. I know your story. So I am going to bless you according to my foreknowledge and my foresight of what is going to happen to you. And you can see all this story in Genesis chapter 49. From verse 1 onwards. Verse 1 says, then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourself that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come. That is prophecy. What will befall you in the days to come? Meaning, assemble yourself before your God. Assemble yourself before your God. Gather yourself before your God. In your home, gather your children before your God. On a Sunday, don't leave your children in bed and then you just come and listen to me. Gather them before your God. Gather your husband, gather your wife, gather them. Even if they are unbelievers, pray and gather them and bring them before the Lord your God. And God will release a blessing into their life. Goshen does. If you read the whole of verse 49 up to, I believe, 27, you see that Goshen does became a place of prophetic blessings as well. See, there the people heard, and the people got to know the heart and the mind of God concerning their lives. That is prophecy. Hearing, knowing the heart and the mind of God is prophecy. Prophecy. So Jacob blessed all his children, or Israel blessed all his children, one after the other, prophesying to them about what is to come and how their future is going to be like. So I just want you to know that it is when you align yourself with God and you gather yourself before God that your future can be determined according to God's purpose. Otherwise, you chase the wind and you chase everything. You come to the point of your death and there is nothing to show for. And that time may be too late for you to gather before God, because there might not be strength in you. You see, so here we see that Genesis chapter 47, verse 28, it says this. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Hear me. At the time, they were calling them Reuben, Gad, Naphtali, Levi, Judah, and Issachar, and all the names that they had. But it said, by faith, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. You are hearing this, talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. All these were the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, everyone with the blessing appropriate for him. Genesis 49, verse 28. Everyone was blessed with a blessing appropriate for him or her. So God wants to bless you with a blessing that is appropriate for you. So we need to seek the appropriate blessing that God wants to bring upon our life. And this was corroborated in the New Testament as recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 21 to 22, as faith pronouncement. What Jacob did, what Israel did over his people were faith pronouncement. God wants to pronounce some faith things over your life, and I want you to hear it. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21 and 22 says, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. So you can see that in Goshen, what was happening there was not only worship, but prophetic blessings. Something needs to be revealed when you move into your destiny, when you align yourself with God, when you get closer to God, when you are in intimate relationship with God, when you know your God, when you know his name, you wake up in the morning and the first name that comes upon your lips is worship. Worship Yahweh, worship Jehovah, worship your Lord, your God. When this is the first thing that comes onto your mouth, or the first thing that comes to your mouth is praying to your God or seeking his face by reading his Bible, that he reading his word, then you have aligned yourself with your God. And by aligning yourself with your God, you know what? God is going to prophesy over your life. You are going to hear. You are going to know the heart and the mind of God concerning your life. These are going to be faith pronouncement, and you are going to hold on to it, and it's going to happen. So we know that Jacob blessed his children, and we know that the people of Israel actually left Egypt, albeit probably 400 years roughly, they left Egypt, and they went. That was a faith pronouncement. And how would Joseph know what is to happen 400 years? That's by prophecy. Joseph walked with God. The Bible said, and he was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord says, I'll be with you. He was with him all the time. God wants to be with you all the time. When he is with you, then out of your mouth will come prophetic pronouncement over your children, prophetic pronouncement over your own destiny, prophetic pronouncement over your life, prophetic pronouncement over your children, over your husband, over your wife, prophetic pronouncement over your job, your career, your business. God wants you to have a prophetic pronouncement over your health and your sanity. Yes, because Joseph was close to God, he was able to do that. And because Jacob worshipped God, he was able to bless his children with that. These were faith pronouncements. So we see faith here is calling into being that which is not. You see, they hadn't seen, the children of Jacob hadn't seen what the father was talking about, but he was telling them what they will be. Yes. And the people of Israel hadn't even dreamt at the time that they would go into slavery in Egypt. But then, Joseph was prophesying. He said, and when you are now going to leave this land, make sure you carry my bones with you. Because he knew that he would die in Egypt. He wouldn't see the Exodus. But he said, when you are leaving, don't leave my bone in Egypt. Carry my bone with you. And when you read the scriptures, you said they carried his bone out of Egypt. Isn't this incredible? This is deep faith. Faith is calling into being that which is not. Faith is also seen as calling down from heaven into our situation what is to come. I want you to write this one down. Faith is calling down from heaven into our situation what is to come. In other words, the calling down is from God and not from man. Sometimes some of us are praying. You're praying for maybe some money or something, and at the same time looking out to somebody or your neighbor around the corner and thinking, oh God, if that person will give me that money because the person has got money. That is not faith, my brother, my sister. You look to God and let God bring the money. He will not bring it manna from heaven. He's able to, but he might not. And if he doesn't, and if he chooses to touch the heart of your neighbor to give you that money, he will do so. He may touch the heart of someone who is far away to give it to you. He may even give you fresh ideas to get into business opportunities, and you will get that money. So the calling down is from God and not from man. Now I want to also understand that Goshen is a safe place for God's people and their families. Goshen is a safe place for God's people and their families. When Joseph and the people of Israel went back to bury Jacob in Canaan, only the little ones and their livestock, in fact, their resources were left behind, for God protected them. This is serious. They left Egypt to go to Canaan to bury their father, all the tribes and everything. Now let me read it for you in case you think I'm just making it up. Let's look at the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, verse 7 to 8. He said, so Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh. All the servants of Pharaoh. Not only Joseph's servants, all the servants of Pharaoh went. That is serious. We are talking about even his security men and everything went. So Pharaoh was left alone. Why? How? Because Joseph was a father to Pharaoh. He has brought divine covering over Pharaoh. So Pharaoh could not be afraid that he would come under attack. God was looking after him because of Joseph. So all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household, they left only their little ones and their flocks and their herds in the land of Goshen. Wow. So picture this. The whole household, the whole security men, the whole apparatus, and the whole strong men and wise men and all those people around Pharaoh left Egypt with Joseph and his household and his servants and all the brothers and sisters and brothers of Joseph who were in Goshen and all the people of Goshen. They left and only left the young ones. That is dangerous. They could have been attacked. They could have been messed about. They could have been, anything at all could have happened. But you know what? They left their little ones and their flock and their herds in the land of Goshen. See, this means that Goshen became a safe place to leave your family and possession because God will protect them. So, all the time I'm talking about Goshen, you'll be thinking, what is this? I've explained to you, I don't have to go back. But I want you to bring into your present reality and your present perspective to understand that being in that place that God has chosen for you, being in that place that you come under the covering of God and the covering of your church and the covering of your pastors, whatever church you come from, I want you to come to that understanding that, look, even your children will be looked after. Sometimes when we are, going somewhere or we've traveled and our children are even older people and we are so worried. Or sometimes our children are going back to school and we are so worried. You know what? Hey, remember they came from Goshen and they are going to be protected even when the parents are not with them. So your children may be going to the university right now and be wondering, oh God, they are 18-year-old teenagers leaving home for the first time. What is going to happen to them? I really agonized when my first daughter was going to university. I agonized when my second daughter was going to the university. I agonized when my third daughter was going to the university. I agonized. How are they going to cope? They are kids, for God's sake. They are teenagers. But you know what? My hope was in God. But now I understand that because I'm in the place of God, because I'm in the place of God, this expression is actually used in Genesis chapter 50. Because I'm in the place of God, I am able to trust my possessions, my children, my family, my young ones in the hands of God. Remember, that is the condition. Because I'm in the place of God, I'm able to trust all that I have, all that I possess, all that that I've prospered out of Goshen, all that are my resources, my children and everything. The vulnerable ones, I mean the ones who are capable of looking after themselves, I'm able to trust them into the hands of God because I come from Goshen, the place of God. So, now the third part of my sermon is going to bring you to, a point. See, Goshen, the land set aside for protection by God. Goshen is the land set aside by protection of God. Of course, we see what God has just done for the people. So during the time of the 10th plague, this time we have moved from Genesis to Exodus. Fast forward 400 years. Fast forward 400 years. Yes, 400 years has elapsed or passed. Now we are in Exodus. It's during the time of the 10th plague, the people of Israel still lived in Goshen. They still lived in Goshen. Hear that? And Moses would have lived there too, because the land was protected and saved. Because the land was protected and saved, and God himself was the one who brought divine preservation over his people and over the land, they felt safe in there. They were under the covering of God. Remember that Goshen was protected and set apart by the finger of God from the place as well. You see, when we are talking about Moses, when we think about Moses and Joseph, we are thinking about 400 years of history, right? And Moses came and he was going to deliver God's people. And I just want you to understand that even in that land, because they were in that land of Goshen, the people had been set aside for God's protection from the place, the 10th plague that happened. The 10th plague was to demonstrate the power of God and to let the gods of Egypt know that there is only one God who is more powerful than any other God. And that was why the 10th plague. Because sometimes some people are stubborn. Some people that you are talking to come to faith in Christ, to come under the covering of God. I mean, some people that you want to rescue from the hands of Satan. I mean, they will not make a move. The only way that they will make a move is for the demonstration of power. When you demonstrate God's power, then something happens. So the place was a demonstration of God's power to tell the powers of this world, to tell the demonic powers of Egypt, to tell the demonic powers of this generation, to tell the occultic powers that runs around us, to tell even the viruses that we can't see, the evil virus that I call Corona that way, the evil demonic virus of Corona, to tell them that our God is a God of power. So the only thing that can stop some of these things, the place, was demonstration of God's power. So let me read Exodus chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. I mentioned it from the beginning. Exodus chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. The magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, meaning fleas, the fleas that get into your head and sometimes get into your skin, like dog fleas. But they could not do so. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, that's Pharaoh's magicians, this is surely the finger of God. Mark that words. Verse 19. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and did not listen to them. And as the Lord had said, now the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the grounds on which they dwell. Verse 22, but on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land of Goshen. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the house of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Wow. So, there were fleas happening. That's one of the plagues. And the magician had been able to replicate and replicate. But when it got to this point, they realized that they could not replicate anymore. And when they couldn't replicate, they said, surely this is the finger of God. So even the powers of this world can try as much as they could, the occultic power, the demonic power, spirits of evil, witchcraft and wizards, whatever you are afraid of, they will do as much as they could, but they will go thus far. But when they reach the boundaries of Goshen, they will stop, because that is where you dwell. The Spirit of God dwells in you, the presence of God is with you, is protecting you there, so it will come thus far. Because your Redeemer lives. Because I remember Job saying that, look, I mean, God is the God who tells the seas that you cannot get thus far. God put the boundaries of them. So whatever is pushing towards your boundaries, impinging upon you, threatening you, making you afraid, making you worried, making you anxious, remember, it can only come thus far. And when it finds you in the land of Goshen, when it finds you under the covering of our Lord Jesus Christ, when it finds you with the divine preservation, when it finds you with apostolic covering, then it will stop there. It will not go any further. Hallelujah. This is exciting news. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about this revelation that they will not go that far. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that they may know that I am the Lord. The Lord, I am in your midst of the land. And that is great. So they couldn't create the fleas. Now there's going to be swarms of flies to come. But God says the land of Goshen is going to be protected. And I want you to get this picture, that in all the plagues, it hit the land of Egypt. And Goshen was actually in Egypt. But then whenever it gets to the boundaries, it will not stop. You see, and I want you to understand that Moses was not living in a plush hotel near the palace of the Pharaoh. Remember, he was a murderer, and therefore they haven't forgotten him, right? But the only reason why Moses is able to go before Pharaoh, when you read Exodus chapter 3, you saw that he was afraid, is because the presence of God was with him. He's had a burning bush experience. The fire of God has been exposed. The fire of God has been exposed to the Holy Spirit, the fire that burns the bush but is not consumed. He's been exposed by the Holy Spirit, and God was with him, and God said, go, and I'll be with you. So each time he was going, he would have lived in Goshen, not in Egypt, because they would arrest him. So he would move from Goshen and go to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. That because Goshen is the only place that you'd be protected from the flies, from the fleas, from the gnats, and from the frogs, and the river turning blood and all those. And those are that is the only place that he can be protected. So that is why Moses would have lived among his people in Goshen. Here, I want you to understand that God provides protection. Now, let me quote something from a book that Apostle Bill Johnson wrote. It says, the title of the book is Hosting the Presence. Hosting the Presence. When Apostle Bill Johnson was talking about Moses as a prototype, meaning Moses is a type of Christ. Here, he says this, and I quote, God wants to change the face of his church once again through a revelation of his goodness. He longs to raise up a people who will not just carry good news in the form of words. He longs to raise up a people who will carry the good news in power, which is the person of Jesus Christ. And that power will be manifested in his presence, which is upon us. And he says, refer to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, one of my favorite Bible verses that God gave me revelation about. He said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talking, but it's of power. So Moses would have gone to Egypt to tell Pharaoh that let my people go. Those were words, lovely words. But we know each time he told them, his heart was hardened. But what moved the Pharaoh was that he saw power. He saw the kingdom of God in power, and the power changed things. That is why those who are going through evangelism school in my church right now, I'm telling them that preach the gospel by no means, because we want people to say that will be the greatest encounter and miracle that will happen in their lives. But above all, demonstrate power, especially when the ground is difficult, when the people are stubborn. When you demonstrate power, they will say, wow, this is a remarkable thing happening in our lives. And they will listen. So let my people go and worship the Lord. What's the good news for the enslaved Israelites? The enslaved Israelites, to hear the word, let my people go, ringing in their ears, was it, wow, this is awesome. We're going to be free. This good news was backed by power. Right? If it wasn't backed by power, nothing would have happened. Because they were contending against Syria. 10 most difficult gods in Egypt. That's why we had the 10 plagues. And many other gods. And a stubborn, Pharaoh. And his household and magicians. So they were battling against all these elements. And he said, let my people go. Yes, we are going. But the only thing that made their people go was demonstration of God's power. Let me bring another chapter, another passage for us to read, and I'll sum it up in two quick stories. Exodus chapter 9, verse 20 to 23, Exodus 9, verse 20 to 20, Exodus 9, verse 20 to 26, Exodus 9, verse 20 to 26. Here it reads from the New American Standard Bible. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the Lord, or who feared the word of the Lord, hear this. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servant and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, on every plant of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continuously in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Verse 25, the hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. The hail also struck every plant and of the field, every plant of the field, and shattered every tree of the field. Only, verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Verse 26 again, only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Goshen indeed became protection for the people of Israel, and was by the finger of God, meaning the Holy Spirit clothed that land, clothed those people. The Holy Spirit clothed them, and that was a powerful demonstration of God. And what struck my mind was when I was reading verse 20, it said that when God said there's going to be hail rain upon the land, there were some people in the household of Pharaoh who feared the Lord and listened, and they went in. Because God said, leave the field, don't be outside. Go and get locked in and locked down. But some people said, there is no virus coming. There is no coronavirus. We want to stay out there. We don't want to put on face mask. We don't want to do anything. They didn't listen. But those who listened went inside, and they were not touched. But those who didn't were destroyed with their cattle or their livestock, and their trees and their grass, and they even died of the hail of the plague that came only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, that there was no hail. Hey, Goshen indeed was protected by the finger of God, and God is willing to protect you and me And God is willing to protect us when we make our way and live in Goshen. Shall we say amen and amen and amen? In Jesus' name.